Boys and Girls by Good Charlotte playing right here on The Fuse. And as promised, we have two special guests in studio today. We've got Vicky and Anthony, two up-and-coming Kenyan designers who are part of the Creative DNA program, which is supported by the British Council. Welcome to studio, guys.
Thank you so much.
All right, so we're going to delve into your brands and what they're all about. I, of course, have to start off with you, Vicky, with a Tiger Tail Twister. What is that all about?
Tiger Tail Twister is a Kenyan-owned, ethically handcrafted jewelry brand that deals with what we basically do is take motifs from African design and African history and repackage it into something more modern and more contemporary. So people are consuming something that's modern, but at the same time, a piece of identity from our culture.
And we were talking about this in the last hour, burnout, especially in the creative field and social media and the impact it has. Does social media help you sell your products, number one? And then number two, how do you deal with burnout or just having a creative lull?
Social media helps a lot in selling our stuff, especially Instagram with the new updates with where you can put up your store and link it to your website. It's very, very helpful. Dealing with burnout is what I personally like to do is look at other people's work, people who I look at as my inspiration, look at what they're doing, getting out there to also interact with people who are in the same industry, finding out what they do and how they go about burnout as well. And finding inspiration from different corners of things, I think that's really helpful.
And I love that you mentioned that because when we speak of inspiration, our world is our inspiration these days, right? Sustainability is the name of the game. It's not just a theme. I wanted to know how the experience in the CDNA program has been, because I know it's heavily based on sustainability.
Yeah. The experience for CDNA has been amazing. There's been a lot of things that I didn't know about how to run a fashion brand and stuff, and they've really come in clutch. The sustainability project we did was called Something From Nothing, which was literally that, creating a product and a sellable product, marketing it and everything from nothing, from the waste in our studios, from the waste around us. And so what we decided to do is create a kimono, a denim kimono from scraps of fabric that we sourced from Gikomba. And so we combined, one person in the group had waste patchwork fabric, I had beads that I hadn't used in a while, and so we combined it into something, into a kimono that's detachable and becomes a jacket.
Cool. I love that. Yeah. And from engineer into fashion branding, of course we are talking to Anthony as well. Penny Mbili, tell me, what is Penny Mbili all about?
So Penny Mbili is a design studio based in Nairobi, Kenya. We like to define ourselves as not bound by any medium, so both physical and the digital space. So we mostly do apparel, t-shirts, and we try very hard to get stories from Kenya from a different time and try to bring them into our work. Mm. Yeah.
What would you say has been one of the highlights of being part of this program, and what's been challenging as well?
For sure, one of the highlights was meeting all these incredible designers that I got to work with. That for me was a big one, because now I know I have community that I can work with. As well, another highlight was the fact that we got some proper business training. This means that now we're set up for the global market very, very nicely. So you already know what you're talking about before you go out there. You know how to price your products. You know how to present yourself on Instagram, you know how to talk to people, and such and such.
And I love the fact that you love mixing music, and we've seen some big wigs wearing some of your tees as well, like Blinky Bill. Where can the public buy some of your products?
I mean, my products, you can find them on Instagram, Penny Mbili, penny.mbili, that's my handle. And then you'll see all sorts of t-shirts and posters and merchandise.
And speaking of mixing music, there's going to be something going down at Village Market on, what was the day? On the...
Yeah, it's
on
a month long.
On the you're going.
Yeah,
it's a month long. Okay, tell me what's going on at Village Market at this pop-up then.
It's a month long pop-up. That's a culmination of the CDNA program that we were at. So the whole idea is just to put our products in a physical space. At least now we live in a time where COVID is kind of coming down. So you can go and interact with our pieces. You get to see some very talented Kenyan designers. And support us, buy our stuff.
I love this. I love the fact that, you know, we have a lot of up-and-coming designers as well who listen to The Fuse. So if you do have some questions, do let us know on The Fuse 984 on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, 0701-984-984.
That's Torches by X Ambassadors right here on The Fuse, and we're joined by some special guests today in studio. We've got Vicky of Tiger Tail Twister, a jewelry brand here in Kenya, and Anthony of Penny Billy, which is, Anthony, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is like a garment brand, like clothing, yeah. But you also do digital artwork.
Yes, I do.
Got him. Okay, so you guys are both part of the Creative DNA program, and I was wondering how big is the cohort that you were a part of?
We were 20 designers.
Wow.
Yeah.
And all mixed mediums?
Yes, we had apparel designers, we had bag designers, we had jewelry designers, so we had all sorts of designers.
How did you sign up for it, and how did you even hear about it, by the way?
It was on Instagram, actually.
Yeah, speaking of social media.
Yes, speaking of social media, there was a post done by the British Council Kenya. It was a call to apply, so I just did that, and I made the cut.
All right, so designers by choice, not, you know, by like studying it in school. So I think some courses like this are fantastic. What would you say would be a benefit for the next generation coming into a course like this, other than just studying design? Because you guys did engineering, you did film, you know, what would you say the benefits have come from this?
I think the key thing is for everybody to realize that they are creative, every single person. It's just that we express it in different ways. I could be a designer. Maybe your creativity is expressed with how you cook, how you wear your clothes, how you drive, how you arrange your house, you know. So just that simple fact of accepting that everyone is a creative and it's not like something you're born with, it really gives you the freedom to explore with different things. So that's one of my principles. That's how I live. And I would suggest, I would advise people to, you know, use the same approach.
And what advice would you give on turning it into a business? Because you guys have mentioned quite a few times that they helped you make you understand the lucrative worth of it, right? So yeah. What advice would you give for someone who's creative? Yes, they can make their t-shirts at home, but now they want to actually sell it.
Turning it into a business, first of all, I would advise people to just start with what you have. You have Instagram, you have, you know, Instagram for business. You can do sponsored ads. Start from there and then look online as much as you can on masterclasses for managing your finances, for all the things that you need for entrepreneurship, how it is to run a business, and always keep your eyes open for projects like this, because I feel like this will be the most helpful information you'll get, since there's no formal training for how to run a fashion business that you can rely on. Look to masterclasses online and programs like these.
I'd even say networking is a fantastic way for you to get your, you know, foot in the door and even just try out. So this is why when I say, when it comes to networking, all month long at the Village Market there will be a pop-up going on which lets you see these young and up-and-coming designers as well. So come talk to them, see how the course was firsthand, as well as buy. Let's get the news and then back to The Fuse. Keep sending in those questions on 0701 984 984.
Tune into The Fuse right now with Anne Moore, myself, Sony Side Up, and special guests in studio. We're going to keep this interview going. Right now we've got Sandra Shege, the head of Arts of Kenya at the British Council, and Christine Ann, a fashion expert who's also the founder of fashion heritage brand Kiko Romeo. So welcome to studio.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, of the course, the British Council have been, you know, putting a lot of effort into the arts, especially connecting Kenya and the UK. Now, I want to know, this is the second time the British Council is organizing the Creative DNA. What do you feel is the impact it has had and will have, continue to have?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things we're looking at is how to work with emerging designers to sharpen their skills. And you know, a thing that we are finding connected to the idea of your skills is also your confidence to be able to navigate the market. So once you have that in place and you're able through programs like this to have a stronger connection with people who are doing similar work. We've also been working a lot in isolation. So recognizing that you have a community that you could lean on, you have people that you could collaborate with, is also a really big part of the legacy of this program. We have, past designers who have met for the first time on the program and gone on to develop businesses together, design projects together, and we see it as a really beautiful output of the program.
Now, you've gotten to see some of these designers grow and change, especially when it comes to their creativity, but you chose sustainability to be the theme this time around. Why sustainability?
there's a really massive opportunity for Kenya and Africa as a whole to, you know, plug that gap, recognizing that our ecosystems are quite unique in that we have had the influence of Mitumba that has shaped our ideas of fashion. We have sectors for cotton and the whole value chain that could use some support. And we're in a really strong position to innovate and think about how we change waste into something meaningful. So sustainability is a really massive gap and opportunity for young people to work in.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that fast fashion is becoming a huge problem, especially for dumping sites as well. I want to know the important impact and support of creativity after the course is done as well for these designers. Do you still follow up on them, or is it now
yes.
out in the world?
And then, I mean, you know, we're trying to get better at these things, because one of the key principles that we design programs with is how do we innovate to respond to the needs of the market. So now that we've done it twice, you know, we've shaped the program again to respond to the feedback from the cohorts that we work with and our stakeholders. And so one of the things that we are hearing quite often is a need for a stronger alumni, for example, to keep the networking going, to make sure that there are further opportunities for the young people to collaborate, create, and just learn from each other. Which is something that we're looking into.
I love that. Now, I do have to mention, I am a super fan of the next woman we're going to talk to. Like, my first bag was a Kiko Romeo bag. My mom was, like, super happy about that. Yeah, so I'm fangirling low-key. I just want to get that out the way. Now, you have been a powerhouse.
I'm blushing.
You have been a powerhouse in the fashion industry for such a long time. Even me, I'm blushing. You have been a powerhouse in the fashion industry for such a long time. Why did you choose to collaborate with Creative DNA?
I love teaching. And I think I've learned a lot of things, both easily and hard, in the hard way, you know, in the course of the business. And I really like to impart those skills and knowledge, because I don't want to see young entrepreneurs repeat the same mistakes. Of course, the situations have changed nowadays. The environment we work in is different. But whatever I can do to help on that is fantastic. And the British Council program is brilliant because it mixes both local knowledge and international knowledge and networks together. And that really gives designers hope of visibility outside of Kenya. But I think a very important thing for me is I'm passionate about bringing out the individuality and what makes a designer different. So I hate business incubators that say, who are your direct competitors? Because I think creatives don't have direct competitors. I think they need to tap into what's inside them, their personal life experiences, values, and so on. And I think in defining what makes you different, you're not fearing the other. You can actually build community better. You can learn to sell together to the same clients, because none of us wear one brand 24/7. So I like to build harmony within groups by recognizing the differences. So yeah, any opportunity, I go for it.
And the growth and boom of social media definitely has helped a lot of brands become known, become, you know, relevant, even just last a longer time. Do you think professionalism is still lacking when it comes to the Instagram pages, right? So let's say I'm Anne Design, but then on the day before I was Anne on the beach in a bikini. Do you think that professionalism is necessary, and how should designers go about it?
I think you have to have two Instagram handles, mm-hmm. because it definitely can confuse things. And you know, the audience is different. Like, if I'm doing Instagram for as a business, I'm thinking of professional buyers. I am thinking of the end consumer globally, who's going to want to wear the product, but is wearing a bikini directly related to what my brand is about or not? So I would just separate them.
As we were talking earlier to the young designers who you've been working with, they didn't study it in school. So I want to know, what is the difference between a course like this and taking up an actual design degree?
This one is very much focused on your business, your brand that you've created. And it's like guiding you how you can get it, accelerating growth and so on. You may outsource the technical skills. There are some people who have fashion businesses who aren't designers. They maybe have just a good eye for what looks nice and what can sell. And they may even work with a designer who does the drawings for them, or someone else who does the patterns for them. So you can source those technical skills and still be on a course like this mm-hmm. one. You have to have the vision for the brand. You have to have the product. You have to, like, we have to see potential for growth as a business. If you go to a fashion college and study fashion, fashion design, you're really studying also the technical part. You're learning how to draw, you're learning how to make patterns. In some schools, you're also learning how to sew. So it depends what you're more interested in.
So you had spoken a little bit about how for the Creative DNA program, you want to have at least 2 years of experience in the business. But you'd spoken a little bit about an e-learning segment. Could you speak a bit more to that? Is that for if somebody's just getting started or just wants to kind of dip their toes into this new world?
Yes. So the British Council has worked with Microsoft to develop a platform for that's focused on creative enterprise. And so there's courses there from the very basics to, you know, what is the creative economy? Even when you think of yourself as a fashion designer, as a musician, as a theatre maker, dancer, you're part of a creative economy. So thinking about what that looks like, you know, zooming out, because we often get quite stuck in the day-to-day of our lives and of our businesses. So this course really just paints the picture for you for what does this economy look like? What does it mean to contribute to it? What does it mean to, you know, build a business? What skills do you need? How do you build a team? How do you price your products? So everything from the very basics into thinking about your business as a social enterprise. What could that look like? What does it mean to build in values and ethics into how you work? So we're really proud of it. And it's three courses. There's the one that's, again, the basic introduction. There's the intermediate that's looking at creative businesses as social enterprises. And also there's an introduction into policy making for the creative economy, because that's one of the things that we're really interested in working with the sector to recognize that as much as you are running your business, you are also connected to others, and there are decisions that you can weigh into as you think about, you know, the pricing, for example, that is influenced by taxes. So how do you get to play a part in your policy making? And that's a very entry level idea and course, and it's all free. And you can find it on the British Council Kenya page, on our East Africa Arts handle, as well as the website.
Fantastic. We're going to have this information on our social media platform, The Fuse 94, as well. Keep sending in those questions, because we've got about 15 minutes until the Hopping Bells Day Hour.
That's Pink with We Could Have It All right here on The Fuse. And if you're just tuning in, we've been joined this entire hour by some really interesting guests. Right now in studio, we have Sandra and Christine Ann. Sandra from the British Council and Christine Ann, a fashion expert, also known for Kiko Romeo. And I wanted to know from the two of you, what have you seen as a biggest development in the fashion industry? And why do you feel like it's so important to start these foundations like the Creative DNA to support young and upcoming designers?
I think it's just giving so many young people an opportunity to earn an income and at the same time express themselves. And we have a society right now with a lot of stresses, and just to be able to feel you're being yourself, looking yourself and earning from that creativity is really powerful, and particularly when we've had so many issues of mental health and the stresses around that. Like, bringing out your creativity, and I mean your real creativity, not what you think somebody's going to want to see, but what you really want to be, it just makes you feel good with yourself. So I've seen a growth in that, a growth in confidence to just be yourself. Yeah.
That's really exciting. I think we were talking a little bit before about how, you know, to apply for this program, you guys really are looking for truly unique and creative expressions, you know, not more cookie cutter or what people expect, what people think is expected. And how do you encourage people to lean into that, you know, and to really dig deep and find that kind of creative inspiration?
I think something that came out in a needs analysis that the British Council commissioned was that the history of international relationship in fashion with Kenya has been aiming for the US market. And the US market is huge. It's numbers and volumes driven. Whereas fashion market is usually very niche and expressive, and finding boutiques around the world that will attract a very specific clientele. And so in a way, they're at odds with each other. And I think the policies in Kenya have been geared for that big volume thinking, like, you know, you're Woolworths, or you're Vivo, are you like a chain of being able to dress the nation.
Yep.
And that's really important. Don't get me wrong, it is super important. But you can also make a living as a designer and grow and like sell internationally. You would have to incorporate internationally by being yourself and being expressive.
Yeah.
And finding people that are attracted to that.
Mm.
Both exist.
I love that you mentioned that, because I feel like a lot of, especially for African culture, we kind of grew up with this notion of being, you grew up to be a lawyer, doctor, pastor, politician, right? There was not much out there. What advice would you give to parents who have a creative child that wants to express themselves in that form?
Let them be them. Now, I know that's a big leap of faith. Certainly, a lot of the class we have right now have got degrees in kind of, you know, serious things, accountancy, engineering, and that therapy, those kind of like, you know, they've already done degrees in that, and they've still found themselves going back into fashion. I don't necessarily think it's bad to have both. I think they complement each other. But I think if your child has like really clearly shown all the way through high school that all they want to be is an artist or a designer or a, like, encourage them, help them, because they probably have a really strong talent for that. And there's so many jobs in the fashion industry. A lot of young people are making money being stylists, for example. Now, of course, you can be a good stylist and a bad stylist, but some people have real talent for that, and that takes you into the advertising industry for doing commercials. It takes you into the film industry, takes you to the Netflix, everything.
Yeah.
Like, and even social media, it takes you into dressing people who are on social media a lot and who have to look good. It takes you into the media celebrities. So there is money there, and a creative child should be fostered to be able to realize that creativity, in my opinion.
And when it comes to collaboration, I think there has been a shift I've noticed in the last 4 years just of doing radio alone, right? People used to keep their clients and themselves, like their secrets, very close to them. But now with the world of influencing, you kind of have to work together. How important is collaboration in fashion?
I think it's the only way to go. Even for ourselves as Kiko Ramirez, or we're looking at collaborations with other creatives, like in filmmaking, in music and so on, as we've always done, but also with other young designers, because that's what keeps a brand alive. That's what keeps you talking, like challenging each other creatively. We could also look at a brand like Sandstorm that does a lot of collaborations with younger designers, and it just keeps us fresh. It keeps us thinking of new things, and it lets us pool resources together and reach new markets. So there's a lot of cross-marketing that happens.
I love that. And in terms of the British Council and the artists as well, I wonder what other projects are coming up or people can sign up for, and what else is going on out there?
Sure. So the way that the British Council works in the arts is that we have three main programs. We have the work that we do with Creative Enterprise, which is this piece around fashion and working on the business skills and policy and opportunities to showcase and network. And then we have the e-learning platform, which is, as we've discussed, you know, an open and free platform for young people to sharpen their skills. We also have grant programs like Ignite Culture, which we are running in partnership with Hiva Fund, based out of Nairobi. And between 2020 and 2024, we have 40 months to work with the sectors across Eastern Africa to award grants worth 4.5 million euros. And it's talking about, you know, businesses in the ways that we have discussed today. You know, what are you trying to do? Who's your audience? And how do you sharpen your skills? You know, access different markets across Eastern Africa. So that's an open call that runs potentially in June. We're working towards June. But all this stuff is available and on our website. Please follow East Africa Arts on Instagram and hashtag East Africa Arts as well across all socials, and you'll find most of these opportunities on there.
Right, we're going to have this information as well on our social media platform, The Fuse at 984. I will give a shameless plug as well to Virgil Abloh, because, look, he did create this website where you can actually see, you can see how to start a fashion industry, a fashion company. We'll give you more information on that in just a bit. I want to say thank you so much for coming in today. And all month long, I'm keep reminding you, at Village Market, there will be a pop-up, so you can actually go firsthand and talk to the designers and see what are some of the challenges and benefits as well that they had. Right?
Right. Okay. Let's get into it.